Welcome to Better Together, a Vaishnava family podcast.
A podcast where we explore family life from a Bhakti Yoga perspective. We are your hosts. I'm Aksh.
And I'm Gopika. Welcome to episode 22.
One Mother's Journey. Last year, one of our first and most popular episodes was the one about being a stay-at-home mom. Here we are a year later, Mother's Day 2025. When you hear that, what feelings, emotions does it bring up for you?
I feel like my feelings are this mixed glitter jar where it's all sorts of feelings mixed into Mother's Day. Like, I definitely feel, first and foremost, an immense amount of gratitude towards my own mothers, to people in my life who have played a role as mother and like mothered me in different phases of my life. And especially for the opportunity to become a mother and just have two beautiful children. And it's awesome and it's amazing. And I really feel that there's nothing in my life that will ever compare to this experience of being mother. Definitely a lot of gratefulness, but also, you know, the other feelings in my glitter feelings jar swirling around is also frustration. I feel like Mother's Day, it's like this one day where moms are really honored, and they of course should be, but just because it's Mother's Day, it's like all this hoopla. But on the other days of the year, sometimes just feeling unseen.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like it's honestly, a checkbox. If I'm honest, it feels embarrassing for me to say this, but I do want to feel recognized and valued as a young mom who's still in the trenches of, you know, motherhood with two little kids. I feel like what I'm doing is an immense contribution, and I don't want to feel like I'm tooting my own horn. It doesn't feel good to be doing that. At the same time, I feel a need to be seen for the work that I'm doing. And in the world that we live in, sometimes it just feels like you're not seen for the work that you're doing. It's just like a part of life.
Yeah.
So I feel that sort of frustration.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like Mother's Day is a little bit of a burden also because I'm currently mothering two little kids, but I still have mothers. And of course, I want to celebrate our moms. But sometimes I feel like as the woman in the family, you kind of inherit the load of any sort of celebration or cards or gifts or like even just the question of what are we doing for our mom? Yeah. I automatically just feel that burden on my shoulders. So feel that weighing and competing for my own needs. There's a lot of psychologists leading up to Mother's Day on Instagram right now being like, make sure you communicate what you want for Mother's Day. Don't expect people to just guess. So fair enough. So I was thinking about what I want, but I'm like confused because it's two different things. I want some alone time. Yeah. I want some peace that extends beyond like 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And I also want to be with my kids. I want to do something fun with my kids and cherish them and enjoy them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. There's my glitter jar of emotions for Mother's Day for you.
No, thanks for sharing that. I realize it is probably going to be quite mixed. And I hear you on a lot of those points. I mean, in some ways, for me, it's also similar coming from my side. One, I think that feeling of gratitude, the longer I've been a parent, the more I'm recognizing how much our parents have done for us and our moms specifically. And this, I guess, sense of embarrassment, exactly what you said in terms of why this day has this sort of bigger rah-rah around it. But actually, we should recognize that we could be more aware and appreciative throughout the year. So let's kind of get to your journey. Thinking back now, 4.5 years. What was it like becoming a mother for the first time? What were those early days like?
Ugh. Honestly, it was so overwhelming. It happened during the pandemic, which after having our second baby, I realized just how abnormal and how traumatic it was to bring a baby into the world and also to step into that role of motherhood during a global pandemic. I think while I was in it and it was happening, it didn't feel like much of a big deal, but I feel like I'm still like unpacking the impact that those days had on me. We literally found out that we were expecting 2 days into lockdown.
Yeah.
I just spent it immersed in YouTube.
Yeah.
Hours and hours every day.
Oh my God.
Watching nurses and midwives and moms, you know, talking about their experience and baby products and breastfeeding and birth and everything.
Hmm.
That was my way of filling the time, one, and two, preparing.
Yeah.
Because it is my nature and personality to prepare.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because your understanding of what prepared means is like different from mine. When you were watching these videos, it was primary research, right?
Yeah.
You were actually listening to the experiences of moms who are describing details of their day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And you were doing this on mass scale to the point that you were just absorbing so much insight.
Yeah,
it was amazing to see. I was like, wow, we're going to be so ready. And you're going to be so ready.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But honestly, I was absolutely not prepared despite all those hours. I think that was part of the trauma for me personally. Is it's probably one of the first times in my life that I had this experience of feeling like my preparation wasn't paying off. Because I've had transitions in my life before.
Yeah.
For example, Teach for America and transitioning into the teaching profession was a very intense role switch and transition. And it was very difficult, but I worked really hard and it paid off.
Yeah.
And I saw the results.
Yeah.
I was reminding myself of like, you got this. I was trying to tell myself that you've done so much in your life. You've gone through so many difficult things. Motherhood, it might be challenging at first, but you'll find your way.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be
positive. You are.
And
of course. And I think that positivity was a good thing. However, I think you just can't be prepared. Because we were in the pandemic.
Yeah.
All of the things that kind of help you with that very extreme jolt into a different life were really inaccessible. The birth was okay. But frankly, I was not really so prepared for what postpartum would feel like, even though I had watched videos on it. Honestly, nothing can really prepare you for how you feel after you give birth. And that's going to be like a completely different experience for everybody. Breastfeeding, even though I took a course, I was so ready. I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to conquer this.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster the first time around. It was so much harder than I thought. And there was so much more to it that I didn't understand. We had a tongue tie baby, which I didn't research at all. It was just really confronting for me. And again, there was nothing else in life. There were no groups. There was no temple, family. I mean, we had family, but not you could just go to a family dinner.
That was probably one of the biggest things that was underestimated is how much the isolation factor was going to be such an emotional drain, especially for you.
Yeah.
Because that's something that you need to thrive. We haven't even mentioned, but to leave your job.
Yeah.
And your career and be with the kids all day and be in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Everything is harder and you don't even have the things that give you that nourishment in terms of social support and friends. I think that was huge.
It was so hard. Yeah, it really forced me to explore in some dark places. I just felt like I was a total failure.
Mm.
And so that emotional feeling coupled with the aloneness factor, and our baby was not a great sleeper. We were very sleepless quite throughout the first year. So to be isolated and sleep deprived, it's like a death sentence.
Yeah.
I hate to feel this way. I'm feeling sad talking about it because no one wants to remember the first year of their baby's life like this.
Yeah.
And there were lots of happy moments. There were tons of happy moments, but it was really hard.
It was hard. I remember. Thank you for sharing that. I know this is very much you opening up and sharing honestly. One thing I wanted to ask you, though, is all of these feelings, do you feel like you could share them with others? Or did you feel like you had to project a sense of, I do have it together. I do know what I'm doing. People often say this phrase, mom's gut. What's the phrase?
Maternal instinct.
Maternal instinct.
Yeah.
And so whenever there was a question of like, what should we do?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I would look to you and I'm not sure other people would look to you. And if I'm honest now, looking back, I think there were times where you actually didn't know maybe.
Yeah.
And it was a tricky situation even as the dad to be in, because I kind of wanted to give a suggestion, but I didn't want to put down your maternal instinct. But yeah. I think it was like the maternal instinct was still developing. So I don't know, how did you feel during this time where you were unsure of yourself, but you needed to kind of make yourself and others feel that you were sure of yourself?
I mean, honestly, it was a confusing time for me too, yeah. because I so wanted to find my maternal instinct.
Yeah.
Because things weren't going right, that really shook my confidence.
Hmm.
Especially with feeding and then like the yeah. early days with the weight gain and stuff, like that yeah. really shook me. And at that point, my mental health is shaky. Mm-hmm. Like all of the hormonal changes, we're in a COVID pandemic, and then you're hearing like 5 billion opinions from everybody.
Yes.
And there's also the internet with like 5 billion opinions from everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're the mom, so you're supposed to know, and you're like filtering all of this. And it's just
a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. I mean, I felt it.
Yeah.
Disclaimer for this whole podcast, every mother is unique.
Yeah.
Her temperament is individual. Her personality is different. This is literally just my motherhood experience. But I, by nature, just feel things a bit deeply. And I just like felt the crippling pressure. And I think that was like another layer of guilt for me that, you know, you're kind of told, trust your mom gut. And so like, okay, I got it. I'm going to just have this baby and I'm just going to know. I'll be able to figure it out. I got this. Maybe for some moms, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I didn't. It took me like a long time to leave the house by myself with the baby. Like I didn't leave until 8 months or something. After having a second baby now, I'm just like, oh my goodness. I just want to go back and give my first mom self a huge hug.
Mm-hmm.
Because after having a second baby and being able to take her out and meet other people and have other people love on your baby and, you know, feel like yourself a little bit in the world, it's a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And confidence builds through your ability to like take your baby and you survive together at the grocery store. You survive together in the car. You survive together at the temple and you figure it out. And confidence and ease and flexibility, all of that builds when you're able to just kind of live your life with your baby. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, not being able to do that, I feel like it really hampered me as a mother and produced a lot of anxiety and just, I don't know. I'm getting emotional. It was just really hard.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But yeah, it was totally different the second time.
Yeah.
100%. I'm glad we had a second baby. I think I needed it in many ways to heal from the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. How did you feel career-wise in all of this?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question. I just wanted to be open to how I felt after having a baby. Because maybe I would really love to be home with my kids. When I was little, I loved kids. Like, I got my babysitting certificate and I just loved little babies and taking care of kids. There was a part of me that thought I might really love this. I think that what I learned about myself after having a baby is that my educator part of myself is really quite important and is a core part of who I am, a part of my dharma. I love teaching. I need it. And that didn't go away just because I had a baby. And in fact, when it went away and I didn't have access to it, I think it made me unhappy. It did take some time, though, to figure out how I was going to reconnect with that part of myself. I'm still figuring it out, really.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I just want to acknowledge how much of a sacrifice that is for you to have to, I say, just have that even burden of having to figure out, right? That's like pretty challenging.
Yeah.
If you're trying to figure out how you can fulfill that part of yourself. Like, that's not an easy puzzle to solve. So
no, it's not.
Oh. So question for you, what's your secret behind daily living with these two littles? Something for me is like really, really hard to manage. I can barely keep up with just work and the bare necessities of daily household life. but to speak of everything else that you're thinking of and doing beyond that, how do you do it?
I don't know. I mean, in regards to doing something that's more career oriented, sometimes that feels like oxygen for me.
Mm.
So it's not fitting it in. It's like, I need to do it so I feel like myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Routine helps me so much because it reduces the amount of decisions you have to make. And there's already enough curveballs, even within an established routine. Someone's going to cry, or someone's going to be grumpy, or someone's growing and is super starving. And, you know, there's already so many obstacles. So having some sort of routine is life-saving for me. It sounds really anal, the level to which I plan food, but I do it so I don't have to constantly be feeling lost and stressed when my kids are demanding food and they're starving.
Yeah.
And kind of like balancing my week that way to look at how I'm getting different needs filled during the tiny, tiny spaces of time that I get really help. Trying to prioritize connection first thing in the morning with the kids, even though it feels counterproductive. If I try to just jump into my chores first thing in the morning, generally speaking, it gets worse rather than if I just like leave it to the side. It's almost like japa. If you can just convince yourself to chant first thing in the morning, your day goes better. But it's hard to convince yourself of that when you have 5 million other things to do. Same with the kids. Like, I find if I can just convince myself to be present with them and leave everything else aside and give them some quality time, then like the day goes better. And then also just honoring rest, giving myself permission to not do anything also, like during a nap.
Yeah.
Exercise is so critical for me also.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to be okay with it being good enough right now.
Yeah.
Doing little things as much as possible for myself, like calling a friend on a car ride or sending a text or kind of just being okay with what it is.
I think you're doing an amazing job of fitting in all these important things. That's really hard for me to do, but I see you do it. And despite the craziness, you somehow get it in. And even though things can be erratic, you have this ability to be grounded, which is really hard. You get tested a lot.
You think that I'm grounded? You think I stay grounded?
I think you're pretty grounded. I think, yeah, there are times where it's harder.
My lid flips.
but I don't know, I would say there's a lot of times where you're able to absorb the crazy coming from our kid and able to extinguish the situation, show love and compassion and redirect the energy. I think that's something that I really admire. And I think you can do that probably because you fit some of these things into your life.
Yeah, having boundaries.
Yeah.
Having some boundaries. I will exercise. And if that means that one of the children for this next half an hour, you have to be with me in our basement figuring out what you want to do while I exercise, so be it.
Yeah.
Like really like setting those boundaries, bringing the kids with you for you sometimes rather than going along with them.
Yeah. So on those hard days, what keeps you going then?
Yeah, I would say in the hardest of times, honestly, praying. I think on the hardest of days, I feel like I've exhausted everything that I can. Mm. Like all of the strategies and scripts and this suggestion and that suggestion. Thing is working. And then I feel like, oh my God, I'm totally ruining my kids. I'm failing. And I feel like I get in that spiral. And so in that moment, taking the time to pray to Krishna and reconnect with, in the most hopeless of situations, there's always hope.
Mm.
Knowing that Krishna is part of this. I'm mothering my kids, but so is Krishna.
Mm.
He is also the ultimate mother and the ultimate father. That helps me thinking about that I'm not alone. It's not like all on my shoulders, you know? And also just thinking about somehow we can always make things right. Even when things feel off with the kids or, you know, I lost my cool and it really didn't go the way that I wanted to. We can always make it right. We can find a way.
Yeah.
That helps me.
Yeah. I think watching the kids and you make up and seeing that impact, I think I appreciated more the need to do that. I didn't recognize that it mattered as much, if I'm honest.
Well, actually, I heard the psychologist the other day. She was saying how, like, actually 70% of the time, you're going to be out of connection with your child. Like 70% of the time, you're not going to be in sync. And I'm like, well, that makes a whole lot of sense.
I feel better then.
And she said, it's like really only 30% of the time where you're really on the same page and in connection and jiving. The most important thing is about, do you come back into connection with each other? Is there a repair or is that a reconnection there? And she was saying, like, do you think that nature would be so dumb to create children that would be so sensitive to disconnection? And that made me feel a lot better. It was kind of like, do you think they're so fragile that like one moment of disconnection is going to ruin them? And sometimes I feel that way. I think we also have like a very sensitive child. When you do have that moment of disconnection with him, I really do feel like, oh my God, I ruined him. Oh, I'm a terrible mom. Thinking about that really helps, that you just have to be able to reconnect. And I really do feel at the end of the day, I'll be able to tell our kids that we really did the best we could. And I'm okay owning up with where I went wrong. So I feel like if I'm okay owning up with that, hopefully there's a path forward.
Well, you shared a lot. Just thinking back now, what do you wish you could go back and whisper in your ear as a new mom?
I would say to myself, inspired by Body Fit by Amy, my gym instructor, okay? She always says that. If you feel like it's hard, it's because it is hard. But I think that I would tell myself that you're not broken. You're not less than. It's just hard. This transition is really hard. Taking care of a child with your body that feels broken and now sustaining a child with that same body and the emotions and the identity change and the relationship changes and the friendship changes and just everything. It's really, really, really hard. And so just reminding myself of that. You can do this. You're going to be okay. It will be okay. You are good enough. That's what I would tell myself.
I know you said before that you can't really be prepared.
But
is there anything that one can do to prepare more? Or if you were speaking to your younger self, is there anything that you think you could have prepared?
I wish if it was one thing. It's so silly, but the breastfeeding thing was so traumatizing for me and so defining of my first motherhood experience. I wish that I had the opportunity to meet and interview lactation consultants and like have a in-person kind of...
The importance of in-person because...
In-person education session about breastfeeding before I had the baby, and an opportunity to find someone that I felt like I felt comfortable with and safe with and secure with before birthing my baby. Yeah, I think just like aligning that postpartum care with people that you feel safe and secure and that align with your values would be so critical.
I think that exactly the way you said it.
More than the baby products. Find the people.
Find the people. I agree. And this is coming from the guy who built a spreadsheet with 17 different strollers.
Don't you laugh looking back? Like, it didn't matter.
Well, no, I think I did get a good stroller.
It was a good stroller, but if we had gotten another stroller, I'm not sure
it would have... It was more important to get the right people. Maybe this is our last question. You talked about some of the challenges that you had in becoming a mother. What were some of the highlights for you?
Motherhood has been the single most amazing experience of my life. I think one of the best parts for me has been the relationship that builds over time. I don't even have words for it. Like, the closeness and the intimacy of that bond is unmatchable in any other life experience.
It makes it feel worth it for all of, you know, the challenges.
But so much else makes it feel worth it too. Like, even as hard as parenthood is, again, it's such a powerful opportunity to also heal. Can't say I'm completely there.
Yeah.
For example, if our kids make a mess, sometimes my first instinct is to get like really annoyed about it.
Yeah.
In fact, I have this memory of when Kishore was like maybe 7 or 8 months old. He was just a baby. And I was making pesto. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And he wanted to be picked up. I finished blending. And with one swat of his hand, he just knocked over the entire blender on the floor. And there was pesto everywhere. And got so upset. I was like literally lecturing my 7-month-old baby, being like, why'd you do that? Look what you did. You know, it's so embarrassing. I can't believe I lectured my 7-month-old baby. Poor guy, what did he know? He was just moving his arms around and exploring, you know? But looking back and reflecting on that moment, it was like, wow, I really hold myself to high standards and I'm really hard on myself. And now that's coming out onto my kids. Exhibit A, I'm lecturing my 7-month-old on making a mess. Like, I need a chill, you know? And so, like, in that journey of then, like, when I make a mess, talking to myself kindly, so that when they make a mess, I can show up and be like, it's okay, we can clean it up. Accidents happen, which is the mom that I want to be. That's been such a powerful journey for me. And I'm still on it. And also like the spiritual opportunity, you know, to be like immersed in 24-hour service and to have that experience and be like, wow, eventually this is what it looks like in bhakti. Because prior to motherhood, it kind of just felt like being a servant. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm on this path, but I don't really know how I would feel to have to be someone's servant. Like I felt resistance to it. And now I can see how amazing and beautiful it can be to be in that role because I'm feeling it with my children.
Yeah.
A lot of beautiful, wonderful things from parenthood. And I can say that I look forward to more.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, what's your one takeaway from this conversation?
Even though that it's been almost 5 years, just hearing you talk about the beginning and how it impacted you, maybe we've all like thought we should just move on. I feel like it's important to acknowledge from time to time the experience that you've gone through, the good and the challenges, and how that still is something that we need to kind of acknowledge and support you with today.
Yeah, like I think I'm still unpacking the impact of motherhood in my life. And maybe I will continue to do so for the rest of my life. But it is that profound of an experience, at least for me. And it's nice to honor that because it does feel like on a day to day, especially as your kids get older, your role as mother is just like, oh yeah, your mom, you have 2 kids. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, there's nothing underneath, but when you take some time to like reflect on it and talk about it, there's so much that I'm still continuing to uncover as grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience.
Thank you for listening.
I'm so grateful to hear like you're very, very honest and open heart. I just want to say that you are an amazing mom and that despite, I think, all the challenges and opportunities that motherhood has brought, I think that you've become stronger, in my view, and become more creative, become more resilient, more thoughtful, more educated, and also more tired. With that, thank you for listening, everyone. And thank you for sharing, Gopika.
We'll see you on the next episode.
Yes.
Which will be a Father's Day one, by the way. So stay tuned where we flip the mics. All right. Good night, everybody. Hare Krishna.
Take care. Hare Krishna.